Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. Excuse me, on April 30th, 2017. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. It was a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Spring is here. New York is alive. It's fun, fun, fun. And what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's going on in the heavens above and how it is reflected here on Earth below. Remember, the stars do not impel, they compel, which means they invite us, they guide us, they lead us. They don't necessarily say, this is how it's going to happen and that's the only way it can be. They say, this is the energy, what do you want to do with it? What's your plan? What's your path? What's your vision? And then we get to make the choices we make. So the idea of astrology is to live consciously with the energy in the heavens above. And as you may have noticed, it's kind of volatile out there. We have a lot of planets in fire. Venus just went back into fire. She's clearing her shadow between now and the 20th of May, which means she's tracing for a third and final time the little path she has been carving in the heavens above our heads since the end of January. So what happens when a planet's in shadow? It enters the shadow in January, hit 27 Pisces. Then it went forward to 15 Aries, where it stopped, and went backwards to 27 Pisces, where it stopped, and now it's going forwards again. So all the planets in your house, in your chart, between 1 and 15, or 27 and 15, 27, 28, 29, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, to 15, are getting activated. And what they're doing is they're waking up with Venus's third pass, and now Venus says to them, okay, so first I told you about the problem, and then I told you what the reasons why we couldn't change it, or perhaps ways we could change it, but I wasn't really sure I wanted to. And now, now I'm sure I want to. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. So as she goes forward for this third and final pass, kind of like highlighting your book with a yellow marker, she goes, okay, so what do you want to do? And you have until the 20th to get it done. Then she goes into the back half of Aries, where she continues to kick a little butt, until she gets into Taurus, which happens next month on June 6th. Venus is considered in her detriment in fire, for a couple of reasons. Fire is not a place that the goddess of love likes to be in. She's, you know, she's all about springtime. She's all about earth. She's all about She's all about abundance. She's all about, you know, love and beauty and grace and kindness and all that cool stuff. And then she also rules fall, you know, the other beautiful seasons. Spring and fall are both ruled by Venus, which is about partnership and relationship and collaboration. Well, right now she's in Aries, which is a very independent sign. Doesn't want to be told what to do. Doesn't want to be told how to do it. And it just wants to do what it wants to do. So it's got a lot of independence, but it also is a lot about getting stuff up and running, out the door, forward we go, buppity-buppity-bup, because she has a lot of energy around creation. So our job with her in this sign for the next few weeks, until she gets to the 20th, is to know that we're really ready to clear some stuff out. We're ready to kind of get everything moving. You're going to feel like you're taking off a bit like a rocket, because it's definitely going pretty quick and pretty fast. There's also a lot of energy with her when she's in fire, where she doesn't really think about how you feel. She kind of says what she wants to say. And last week on Friday, we had the Uranus-Mercury aspect, which I kind of warned would be a little bit volatile and a little bit crabby. And, of course, I woke up to hear Donald had decided to do offshore drilling all along the coast of America. Now, I've been to Texas, and those beaches are covered with little tar balls from all the drilling that happens in the Gulf of Mexico off the big old state of Texas. So I kind of woke up and I said, okay, Donald, I hope you have an oil spill right off Mar-a-Lago. And that the oil comes right up to your Mar-a-Lago beaches. So you can see what you just did by opening up the coasts of the country to drilling. Of course, every big river, right, every river, think estuaries, think the bays, think Chesapeake Bay, think all those bays, that's all where the oil is, right? So we haven't been drilling on those. We've been drilling at the end of the Mississippi River, in the Louisiana, the Gulf of Mexico, but we haven't been drilling on the East Coast or the West Coast, but now we're gonna. So watch all those bays, those ports, San Diego, L.A., Long Beach, San Francisco, New York City, Boston, all those ports, those bays, those things where the rivers dump. Yeah, that's where the oil is. So this guy's like friggin' crazy. But anyway, that's my Mercury Uranus, so I send a little magic his way, hoping there's an oil spill off Mar-a-Lago. But Mercury Uranus, what did you learn last week that made you a little bit fiery, a little bit passionate, a little bit... Now, as Mercury continues to go retrograde until Wednesday this week, when he stations, he's asking you to kind of go, okay, so you're a little hot and bothered, eh? What do you want to do about it? Once Mercury turns direct this week, because he's in fire, he's going to go back and catch up to Uranus next Wednesday, the 10th, for the third time. And there's a resolution, there's a movement, there's something new and exciting that will happen. So we kind of watch this fire energy, because Mercury's in fire, Venus is in fire, Pallas Athena's in fire. Of course, Eris, the goddess of discord, she's going to be in fire for a long time. And Uranus is now moving forward, and he's at 25. And Mercury's going to catch him next week, but he caught him last week on Friday. So there's this dialogue, this story, this thing that's running where we're learning part one, part two, part three. And our job this week is to go, oh, wow, got it. Because Mercury is going to stop and station on Wednesday and go forward. And Venus is now firing through Aries, so she's going to be charging. And they both form a lot of activity in the firehouse in your chart, whatever house you have fire in. And Saturn, of course, is at the last degrees of Sag, so he's getting the trine from Uranus. He and Uranus are approaching a trine, which is actually a cooperative energy. So that's nice. They're in orb of each other. They don't actually meet until the 19th of May, but they're in orb. So this is a lot about, I want to change this. Okay, how do you want to change it? And you kind of do this conversation. Well, I want to change this. Okay, how do you want to change that? And there's a lot of dialogue between change and action. So it's good. Mars is in Gemini, answering to the Mercury in Aries. So Mars is going to give you two choices, both of which are good, and you can pick which one you want to do. So there's a lot of positive energy in the sky this week. At the same time, and this is just because it's kind of crazy out there, we are going to have Jupiter going backwards and Pluto going backwards, kind of revising some of the things that we used to think were essential, right? Because they're both in retreat for a while, and as is Saturn. So all the outer planets are going backwards, and they're looking at us and saying, are there things you want to revise or change or shift that are part of this journey that will make it a little easier, maybe make it a little clearer? There is a grand trine in fire in the sky between Saturn and Uranus and the node of fate. Now, the other part to remember this week, Virgo, the nodes of fate are in Virgo and Pisces, and they're at the very last degree. And on May 9th, they change into Leo and Aquarius, where they're going to be for a year and a half until November of 18. They've been in Pisces and Virgo since November of 15, a year and a half ago. And in those nodes, in those signs, nodes go backwards through the zodiac because they're the point where the sun and the moon meet going forward. So they kind of, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The nodes of fate go backwards. But when they shift from Virgo into Pisces, what they're going to do is they're going to take you back to November of 15, beginning of November of 15, when they entered Virgo Pisces, and they're going to wrap up a story you've been working on for a year and a half. And that's going to happen this week too, because the nodes change next week on the 9th. So there's a wrap-up energy taking place as Mercury stations to go direct and as Venus starts to fire through the fire energy to get out of Aries and into Taurus by June. So there's a lot of energy, a lot of forward motion, a lot of disruptive energy because we're feeling that wrap-up energy of the Virgo. Now, if we think of the nodes, we think about the last year and a half, while the North Node's been in Virgo and the South Node has been in Pisces, we've been really working with coming to understand where we're supposed to sacrifice, South Node in Pisces, where we're supposed to let go, to be of service, to work in a more humble or humility. We're supposed to work in a more place where we're more aware of our humility. Thank you. And we're going towards the North Node in Virgo, which is where we can be of service and what we're supposed to do to be of service. Now, when this puppy shifts, when this North Node at zero Pisces shifts, it's going to be on Donald Trump's son, because his progressed son just went into Virgo. And then it shifts into Leo. So we're going to expect some changes in the administration this week in terms of the people, in terms of the staffing, in terms of the focus. And then the node goes into Leo, the North Node goes into Leo, and the South Node goes into Aquarius, where we're all being asked about our creative path. Now, I always am interested to watch how the readings reflect. So today I spoke to four different people, all of whom are contemplating new creative projects, new creative tasks, new creative ideas. One's finishing up school. Another's starting a project with his partner. Another one is, having had relationship shift early in the year, end of a relationship, a five-year relationship, figuring out her new direction. Everybody was making big changes towards their own personal creativity, towards their own personal passion. So when the nodes go through Leo, and they're going to be there for a year and a half, which starts on May 9th, we all start thinking about, well, what is it I want to create? What am I create? What is my personal creativity? Where do I get called? What inspires me? I'm tired of just Virgo working for this stuff. I want to do the stuff that calls me, that invites me, that is exciting. Now, I'm going to do a whole webinar on the nodes shifting, and I'm going to do it next week, the week of the 7th. So we'll get a newsletter out to you about signing up for it, because I don't think it's up on the web yet. But these nodal changes are really key, and they really pull us into a whole new direction, because we're invited to go forward with some new creative project. So I have a new creative project I'm working on. Not going to tell you about it just yet, but I had a meeting on it Saturday with a friend of mine to work on it, and we both, kind of really interesting, you can look at the chart for it, because we, at 12:33 on Wednesday, last Wednesday, we both were texting each other, and we texted each other this message, and I said, do you think, and she wrote back, do you think, and it was like, I'm like, oh my God, she just wrote me what I just wrote her at 12:33. So 12:33 Wednesday, that's my new creative project. It's a really interesting chart. And so we worked on it. We talked about it a little bit then, and then we kind of planned it yesterday. So our job is to find that creative pull, that thing that invites us, that calls us, that says, ooh, I would love to create this. This would be so much fun. And we're leaving behind the sense where we have to take care of it and do it from a place of service or dedication or suffering or loss, where we're set free. And, of course, with the South Node in Aquarius, it's where we find our new tribe. So there's a whole tribe coming in. You're getting a whole bunch of new peeps that you're going to play with and have fun, and you're going to let go of some of the work and the suffering and the stuff you've been dragging along by kind of a large anchor around your foot since November, end of October, beginning of November of 2015, a year and a half ago. All right, so let's talk moons. Okay, so today, lovely, beautiful moon that we have. The moon is in, there's my little book. The moon is in Cancer, and it's in Cancer, and it goes void at 4:23 tomorrow afternoon, Monday afternoon, with a square to Uranus, which is kind of exciting. kind of wraps it up. Now, Monday is May Day. It's also called Beltane. In the old days, this was one of the more fertile days. It's the cross-quarter day between summer and spring. So we're halfway through spring when we hit Beltane. It's also 15 Taurus, so it's a day of fertility and abundance and growth and cool stuff. And in the old days, they used to go plow the fields and get naked and have sex and make babies. So I encourage you all on Beltane to get naked and have sex and make babies, or not, as your case may be. But with the moon square Uranus, there's a lot of excitement and volatility and fun in the air, but it is a hard closing aspect because it's a square, so it's got a separating feel to it. And, of course, whenever any moon is going through Cancer, Aries, Capricorn, or Libra these days, it sets off that T-square. So the moon sets off the T-square tomorrow. Then it's void tomorrow night from 4:23 until 12:12 a.m. Tuesday morning, right, 12 minutes after midnight, when it enters Leo. And it's in Leo on Tuesday and Wednesday, going void at 12:35, bright and early Thursday morning. So Tuesday and Wednesday are really productive. They're Leo moon days. And the moon is trining Saturn as a closing aspect, so it's very productive with your authorities. And then bright and early Thursday morning, the moon goes into Virgo, and it's in Virgo on Thursday and Friday, and then it is going void at 8:42 in the morning, Saturday morning, with a closing aspect of a square to Saturn. It's going to be void part of Saturday from 8:42 in the morning to 2:20 when it enters Libra, and then it's in Libra Saturday afternoon and evening, and all day Sunday, and it goes void at 6:59 p.m. on Monday night. So it's in Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, all day Sunday, and basically all day Monday too. And that has good closing aspects of the moon in a sextile to Saturn. So we've got nice, harsh aspect Monday, good Tuesday, Wednesday, harsh Thursday, Friday, good Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So just kind of know, you know, when you're working. Now, when I say harsh aspect, those are aspects when you're trying to end something, you're trying to get rid of something, you're trying to lose something, you're trying to stop doing it. Those are good days to quit things. Those are good days to let stuff go because you're not going to want to keep it. It's, you know, it's not that we avoid them for everything. We use them for the things they're good for. You want to get rid of it and you don't want it to come back. Good days to do that. So I'm going to be in Ann Arbor this week and coming up, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, if anybody's going to be out there. It's the Great Lakes Astrology Conference. It's a really nice regional conference hosted by Sandra Lee Ciro and Richard Weber. I've spoken there a couple times, and it's really, it's at the Holiday Inn in Ann Arbor. So hopefully you can stop by and visit and learn some astrology. So that's the weekend. And so the week is kind of the buildup. Now, the week is busy this week because the Venus is moving forward and back in fire. She went into fire again. And so now she's in fire. She went into fire on Friday. And, of course, Donald did fiery speeches, and we had the press corps dinner that he didn't go to and, you know, fire stuff. So, again, with all this fire in the sky, do be careful of fire, unlit candles, or lit candles. Don't leave them unattended. Unlit candles, unattended, that's what I meant to say. Don't leave the candles unattended and really do kind of pay attention to the story of what you're working on. So this week, we just did the moons. The sun is going to run between 11 degrees of Taurus and 17 degrees of Taurus. Now remember, when I say these degrees, you want to look in your chart for the number with a little degree sign after it, like the oven has. So like if you have, say, the moon at 11 degrees, the sun is going to talk to your moon at 11 degrees, and it's going to stimulate it. Now, sometimes it's an easy stimulation, and sometimes it's hard, and you know, if you're a little more advanced astrologer, you're going to know which one I mean. But we're going to talk Taurus. So Taurus is Earth, so Earth and water planets are happy, and fire and air planets are a little irritated by the sun in Taurus. So it's going from 11 to 17, moving pretty quick. And he has a sesquiquadrate and an argument with Saturn on the 2nd of May because he's he and Saturn are just kind of not really getting along. Now remember, Saturn's in fire and a little bossy when he's in Sag. And Taurus is all about, you know, I kind of don't really want to be bossed around. I want to do it at my speed and my time. There's also an aspect to Poseidon on the second, which is a bit about water and emotion and feeling. And it's a hard aspect, so we're going to watch for a little bit of a hard aspect with water. Then the sun is semi-square, Chiron, on May 2nd, which is about kind of a wound reopening or an understanding of a wound that's been in place for a while. Sun has a sextile to Neptune on the May 3rd, which is really about releasing a dream and giving you a new perspective on the dream. Now, if we think of Taurus, you know, and we're working with Neptune, earth and water make mud, but also sextiles are very collaborative, so that's good energy for creating something. And then there's an inconjunct, a sun inconjunct Jupiter, on the 5th, which is the two of them are adjusting. Jupiter, of course, is in air, so he really doesn't want Earth telling him what to do. Air likes to run around and not have to listen, and so Earth is going, you have to do this. So they're having this kind of adjusting story. So watch where you're adjusting with your authorities or your relationships and perhaps saying, gee, I want something a little different. Mercury's moving very slow this week because he's basically stopped at 24, but he's stationing at 24:15 on Wednesday, May 3rd, and then he turns to go forward. And as he turns to go forward, next week he's going to catch up to Uranus, but the two of them are really close. So Mercury and Uranus kind of hanging out as Mercury stations to go retrograde. Expect unexpected news. Expect news that's a little different, a little difficult perhaps, or a little bit shocking. It's kind of that energy. Mercury-Uranus is kind of like, oh, my God, wow, that happened. And, you know, it is fire, so it's, you know, it's usually burning, news that burns. Venus this week is moving slowly. She runs from 1 Aries to 5, so she's not going quite a degree a day, but she is moving forward. She has a quintile to Pluto, giving her some exciting positive news on the 1st, and basically not much else, except she does have a little bit of argument on the 7th of May because she's contraparallel Eris. Now remember, she's in fire, and Eris is in fire, and she was part of the story with the beautiful, most beautiful goddess gets the apple rule. And she won. You know, she won. So Paris got Helen of Troy, started the Trojan War for 10 years. Now she's fighting with Eris. So this is kind of like you thought you wanted it, now you got it, now you got to deal with it. Or this can be you're a little angry that you have to actually handle this because I thought this was done. You know, it's got a feisty kind of quality to it. So just know that Venus in Aries is a little crabby. And she is a little crabby, but she also is kind of tired because she feels like she's been talking about this since January. And she has been. And now finally, but of course she's a little sharp. She's a morning goddess these days, so she's fiery and passionate and kind of mean. What can you do? Every planet has their days when they're a little happier and a little unhappier. Mars, of course, is in Gemini, so he's trying to hedge the bets. And he's running from 7 Gemini to 10 Gemini. Not going too fast, but, you know, a decent clip. This week he does have an argument with Eris on May 3rd, so he and Eris are arguing then. And he doesn't want to be told what to do today and tomorrow. So there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to do that, you can't make me, energy in the sky. And then he has a semi-square to Uranus on the 6th. So that's kind of, well, we could do this or that, but Uranus is going to go, I don't want to do either of them. And you know how that happens, you know, when you kind of, how about this or that? No, I don't want to do either. Oh, okay. You don't want to do either? No, I don't want to do either. All right. Okay, then what are we going to do instead? Something else. You know, it's a little short, right? That's on the weekend. Jupiter is at 15 degrees of Libra this week, and he is going to have a quintile to Saturn on May 3rd, which is a lot of energy around working with his authorities, working with authorities in a productive way. So Jupiter quintile Saturn, quintiles are easy, they're harmonious, and, you know, it's fire and air, but it's also a fifth harmonic, which the two of them get each other. So this is kind of one of those things when you know when something when you were a little kid, and you would tell a lie to your mother, and she would look at you and go, "Really? That's what happened, huh?" And you'd go, "You knew she didn't really believe you." And then she'd go, "Okay, let's just go check that out." And you're like, "What do you mean check it out?" And she's like, "Let's go check it out." And you're kind of like, "That doesn't really sound good. What do you mean by check it out, Mom?" "Well, we'll go ask them." And then you kind of go, "Okay, now, hamana, hamana, hamana," right? That's the week. That's May 3rd. So hamana, hamana, hamana. Well, let's go check it out. Because, of course, that's also when Mercury stations to go direct. Watch for things to change. Monday, Tuesday, if you get a no, after Wednesday when Mercury changes direction, you can get a yes. All right? So just kind of know that there's this no-yes energy in the world, and there's also the energy of wanting to check it out. Saturn is squaring Chiron this week, and that happens on May 30th, and he's at 27. And so Saturn square Chiron is waking up an old wound or understanding and working with a wound in a new way and giving it a fresh life, giving it another try, giving it a yes. Let me try that again. Neptune has no aspects. Well, he has aspects from the smaller planets, but he doesn't aspect anything bigger. And Neptune, of course, is not doing anything either. Uranus is at 25 Aries, and Neptune is at 13 Pisces. So they're just kind of hanging out. If you've got planets that are having Neptune and Uranus aspects, trust me, you know it. If you don't worry about it because they're bothering other people. Chiron is sesquiquadrate at Poseidon. What that does is it gives, and that's on May 1st, that gives us a lot of energy around, well, gee, you know, like, well, what actually is going to happen and how are we going to work with it? And it's got a whole energy of pain and suffering to it. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to show up. I'm going to be paying attention to our culture. That happens around 5 o'clock, 4:15 on May 1st, Eastern time. Vesta, busy this week. She's going from 29 Cancer into Leo. So she's out of bounds still. Remember, she's out of bounds until we get to, like, June or something. But she's out of bounds, and she's a 29 Cancer shifting into Leo. So she shifts into Leo May 2nd, and she goes up to 1. But she's aspecting the nodes of fate on May 4th, which asks us to look at our home and our hearth, look at our relationships, look at our people that we look to for nurturing, love, caring, and compassion. See if they're still working for you. See if it's still working, if it's still working the way you thought it would. Sometimes with Vesta aspecting the nodes, you kind of go, well, that used to be comfortable, but it's not really comfortable anymore. And you kind of go, well, maybe I need to change it up a little, right? Pallas Athena aspects Poseidon. Poseidon's very active this week. He's the ocean, so we're going to hear some big ocean story because every time I keep looking, there's more Poseidon involved. Pallas Athena's at 12 Aries, and it's being strategic about the ocean. And then Ceres, of course, is squaring. He entered Gemini last week, and she is squaring the nodes of fate, asking you to make a choice about how you nurture yourself, how you take care of yourself, and what you do. And that's important, you know, kind of being conscious around the nurturing. And that's it. Those are the aspects for the week. I got through the whole week. That's good. So we're going to have a nodal shift, which means you're going to be watching that energy kind of pulling at you. You're going to be wanting to go back to November, the fall, even just the fall of 15, and saying, what was going on for me then? And what am I shifting here? What's changing? What's moving? As that node pops and leaves Virgo and heads towards Aries, it gets a whole new path, a whole new direction. And then, of course, this week, that Mercury is right hanging with Uranus. Lots of shocking news, lots of news that's a little unexpected, lots of news that maybe you don't want to hear, but it's important to hear. Retrogrades often bring our ghosts back. We're still going to be in Mercury's shadow through the end of the month. So make sure to talk to anybody that from your past that returns. They're bringing you important messages. And Venus, full speed ahead. Now, I have posted on my website, I encourage you to watch Beth Ditto, D-I-T-T-O, her thing of fire. And watch that video because it definitely is what Venus in Aries is all about. And on that note, I'm going to hang up and sign off. And I wish you all a great week. I'll talk to you next week. Take care and have a good week of April 30th. Bye.